Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the podcast. Today I've got Ben Ass with us. I'm not even going to pronounce his last name. I'll let him say that.
Leonavichus.
There you go. There was no chance. I'm super excited to have you on. I love the entrepreneurial journey, and I love the entrepreneurs. To me, are just the best people in the world because we look out at the world, we see a problem, we decide we can fix it. And then we do something different from everyone else. We don't talk about it. We take some action.
Yeah.
Whatever that pain might be, and it goes through this whole process. So tell us a bit about your background and your history.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in this whole entrepreneurial freelancing game like for more than 10 years now. My father is an entrepreneur and a businessman, and I always knew that I was going to do something on my own. I just never expected it to be so sudden. I was following the usual path, get good grades at school, go to university. Then my dream at that time was maybe to work at Apple, Google, get some experience, and maybe when I'm 30 or something like that, start my own business and do something like that. The life played out completely the other way around. And I basically
What was that first time you realized that you were going to take the step?
It was actually when I was, so I finished university. I started freelancing in university. And then as soon as I finished university, I was still freelancing. It wasn't a full-time thing, but it was earning me quite good. But I was still thinking that I need that real work experience. I cannot just do something on my own without ever trying to get a proper job. And I was hired as a manager, like a SEO manager at a marketing agency. But I didn't have any managerial experience. I knew how to do SEO at that time. I had already a couple of years of experience, but being a manager, I was like, 22, something like that. And they basically, I have no idea how I got the job, but they hired me and they hired two other girls at the same time. So three of us, and we were all like account managers. And after 2 months, I was actually fired because they realized that I'm not fit for the job to actually lead a big team and work in this big agency. The other two girls had way more experience and they were like way proper account managers. As soon as I got fired, I actually got really angry at the 9-to-5 corporate. I just felt very angry for letting me go like that. It was very unexpected on my end. Although looking backwards, it makes total sense. But at that time, it didn't feel like that. And that is exactly when I decided, hey, what if I just give this freelancing thing a go? This is when I decided to do it full time. That year, I actually made 3 times more than I would have if I stayed at that marketing agency. And after that, the rest is history.
I always tell people that I'm now unemployable, and I have been for 30 years. And the first IT job that I worked in, I didn't know about IT, but I got into this job and I worked there for 7 years, which was a long time. And I realized the reason why was because the owner of the company basically let me run the company. And I took it from £500,000 turnover to about £5.5-6 million turnover. He was there to guide on the finances and stuff, but otherwise I could do what I wanted to do. And yeah, I learned a lot of lessons in that, but I wouldn't be able to work for somebody anymore. Yeah, just wouldn't be able.
Yeah, same. It took me a bit longer to realize that. I think maybe 5 years after I was freelancing full time, I realized that now I'm no longer employable. I was still sometimes trying something. I was experimenting with a lot, but at some point, yeah, I realized, no, it's never going to happen. I am that kind of a person, probably just like you, where you want to do things yourself by your own rules and just keep creating, keep working. And if you're put into some kind of a set of rules with somebody above you, then yeah, it might not work out.
So let's talk about SEO. I've been playing the SEO game for many years myself. I've been beaten up by all the Google black and white animals, the pandas and the penguin. I did those black hat things where you go and buy five. I had 300,000 links at one stage on one of my sites that I bought from wherever I was selling links. And then a panda came along or something came along and it just knocked me. And I think one of the biggest challenges that business owners have is to get leads in, right?
Yeah.
And so this is, if you can get your lead flow sorted out, then you can then start worrying about your client delivery. You can worry about your operations. You can worry about your hiring. All these things that follow, they all start with a lead flow, right? Before the lead flow, you've obviously got your branding to think about and other things. But yeah, even if you don't have those things, if you have a lead flow, that works. And SEO in the olden days was fun because you could actually make progress, right? Now, I have three IT companies at the moment, and IT Support London is a fairly strong keyword, right? I also spent 3 years or 4 years at the top of Google in position one without getting any leads. But if you don't have the CRO, you don't have the user experience, you don't know what you're selling, you're just throwing good after bad.
Yeah.
And now we're in such a different world that I'd like to really dig a bit more into where we're going, because I think everybody knows that, well, SEO is not dead. It's still foundational in what we have to do, but that's not where people are getting answers anymore.
Yeah, so the game is definitely changing. I think it's maturing a lot. If we take a look like 10 years back, SEO was more like Westworld, where it's all about the backlinks. It's all about the first positions. Looking back, it's golden age of affiliate marketing and all of this black hat stuff. We are entering the new age with AI search. And what I'm personally seeing is that nowadays, impressions might start to matter more than clicks. Since you are being referenced a lot in AI search, in AI overviews, a lot of people are maybe even will start getting their voice SEO thing was on a rise maybe 8 years ago or something like that, but it really didn't took off. Nowadays, with all of the AI search and all of the capabilities, that also might be more relevant to us. A lot of people might actually find you through hearing about you, seeing about you, but then interacting on a different platform. So before it was very simple. You Google something, you find something, you click on it, and you maybe take action, maybe not, but it's much more measurable and stuff like that. Nowadays, we're still not there, but it feels like we might be heading into a world where you might need to adjust your SEO and AI search game in a sense where you are being found on a lot of different places and referenced more, but then in exchange, you might lose Google traffic per se because people are using AI overviews, but then you might gain direct traffic because people are still coming to your brand because they're finding you on other places. So that's one thing that I feel we might be heading into.
Yeah, I'll come back to this piece that you start a business and you're doing one thing, right? Or you're serving a set of customers. Let's take IT support, for example. Okay, I'm going to do IT support. And customers come to you, can you do this? And can you do this? And can you do this? So you do everything because you just have to get the money in to pay the bills. And at the moment, all you're trying to do is give yourself a salary so you can eat. Yeah, and then you start getting some good clients. And slowly but surely, you get to a point where you have 5 people or you have 10 people and the whole game changes. And that whole journey is, it's very exciting, but it's very painful and it takes you into all sorts of places. And the challenge that we have now that I see is that in order for anything to find you, whether it's AI, Google, any of the other mechanisms out there, you mentioned voice, video is another good one. The second biggest search engine is Google, is YouTube. And now the YouTube algorithm is so important and it can search the video content. It just makes it a much bigger piece to think about. The AI in particular, the large language models, there's still only 2% of the people in the world using them. Now, I understand probably 30% of business owners are using them, but most of those aren't using them correctly. So the opportunity that I see is actually understanding how to get, further on that, understanding the structure you need. That for me starts at knowing what you're selling. But what tips and tricks can you give people, or how do they think about this new AI search world?
One of the things that I like that you mentioned, I feel that as SEO is evolving, the SEO specialist that at least that I communicate with, as I mentioned before, 10 years ago, it was all about the organic traffic, the rankings, and nobody really knew or cared about the business side of things. Nowadays, the conversion optimization stuff, the actual business needs, they're way more important. There's people who are still like looking at the organic traffic and making sure organic traffic grows, which is meaningless by itself. Those are the ones that are going to fall behind. But SEO is, seems like it's evolved, since it's taking so much of, since you need to do so many things in order to have a proper SEO, it feels that you need to know so many different aspects of the business, not just SEO, but then of course branding, then of course conversion optimization, then of course you need to look at social media. You're in a sense becoming somewhat of an expert in many different areas rather than just staying, for example, in paid advertising. You only do Facebook, that's the only thing that you care about, and you're not moving away from it. So for the SEO people, we have to look around into more broader areas of how to actually help our clients.
A lot of the time with my clients, I spend the first period looking at the ICP, the avatar. Who are you actually serving? And what I'm finding people aren't doing is using the large language model. I prefer Claude. There's obviously so many more. Using the large language models to know what their clients are saying and what they're complaining about and what are their real pains. And there's this link between, okay, this is my ICP. This is what he's saying. This is his pains. And what we do is we go and build a website and it's a brochure. Okay, yeah, my website. This is all the stuff I do. No one gives a shit. They want to know how can you help me?
Yeah, exactly.
And that makes your job as an SEO person a little bit more difficult because you've still got to get the keywords in. You've still got to get the robot text, everything in the background of it. Yeah, and there's just now, when beforehand you just had to have the on page, the off page, a couple of formats laid out, now there's a list of 15 things you have to actually get into play.
Exactly. And for this reason, I'm now way more strict with who I actually work with, for example. So before that, it used to be that we take any, in the beginning, especially any client, any work, any project, any niche, and you're trying to make it all work. But as kind of time went on, I realized that I'm not the best fit for every type of client. And if I can actually see that the person, first of all, understands ICP, if their website is not, for example, targeting the right ICP, are they willing to do the changes? If they are, okay, we can actually work with this. But there are clients who are very determined to leave their current website, but they want to rank for a keyword that might not even bring any sort of leads for them. So it's the whole business aspect. I can do SEO for them, but I know that they won't be satisfied in the end because they are not going to see that business result. So these days, I'm very strict with who I actually work with. And I want to, first thing that I want to see is that, are we a good fit? If I help you, if I do the SEO, will that actually help your business? If it does, then we can actually work together.
That's so important. That's so important for everyone because when you're grabbing that money, when you're grabbing those clients and your service suffers, then you're not going to get the reviews you need. You're not going to get the credibility you need. You're not going to get any of that. But it's difficult. It's difficult because there's that period in between where the money's
Yeah,
important.
probably the most tough thing, that period in between. But as soon as I made the change, in just a couple of years, I scaled to over six figures when I made that change. More than half of my business built on referrals. So nowadays, because it's such a good fit for me and for the client, and I provide the results which are the exact business results that the client is expecting, I'm getting referrals basically without actively seeking out them, which showcased to me that, okay, the thing that I implemented a couple of years ago of being more strict with who I work actually benefited my business by a lot.
And who do you work with at the moment?
I work with mainly with keynote speakers, but I'm also now expand because I saw that this works so well. Now I'm expanding into book offers, coaches, and high-level executives since the personal branding website aspect is very similar to keynote speakers. But keynote speakers is my main clientele for the last couple of years.
Cool. So let's just talk a little bit about more AI. I know people might find this boring, but I just want to give some examples of what's possible these days, right? I'm slightly advantaged because I'm an IT guy, but I've never been a coder. Right?
That's the sentence you hear very often nowadays.
Yeah. And I used to work as a network engineer. I could do Cisco networks and do all those good things. So I knew a little bit of that. Never code was just that scared me. Now, with some understanding of how these Claude Code or Lovable or any of these work, you can go out and you can build yourself a pretty good website in 2 hours. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. But without the fundamental grounding of the business first, understanding the whole market, the SEO, the GEO, all those things, all the different signals, you end up just with a website that's not going to do anything. And I see so many people going out and saying, right, like you just said, I want my website to look this way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the problem is you're not your client.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the client doesn't think like you. Otherwise, he wouldn't be coming to you. He might want to be like you, but he's not like you right now. Yeah, so how do you tackle that? Because together, TEDx speakers and authors can probably be quite tied in their ways of, I want to look like this, and it needs to do this, and I need to tell everybody what I've done. But it's not about that.
In my experience, maybe I was very lucky, but in my experience, it's quite the opposite. A lot of keynote speakers might think that they might be tied in their own ways or in the way that they want to present themselves or keywords that they rank for. But honestly, at least the ones that I work with, they're very flexible and they're very willing to do what it takes to actually rank. So in that sense, that's really helpful for me as an SEO specialist. So I personally haven't encountered that, but I haven't worked with the whole industry yet. So that might be just that mini referral network, because as soon as I started working with one keynote speaker, he referred me to four others, and those couple of others have referred me to the other. So it might be just that specific circle that is very open to that. But yeah, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I shouldn't generalize, but I do see quite a common thread that happens. And you mentioned referrals, and that's so powerful, right? Referrals is, how are you doing your referrals? Because if you can do your referrals properly, if you do your job well, you have to do your job well.
That is true. Not every client type is good for referrals. So let's say you start working with an e-commerce founder that sells dog food. He or she, they might know other e-commerce dog founders, but then they're competitors. So it's not like they're going to refer you to other e-commerce dog founders. Yes, they might know other e-commerce people that are doing similar things, but then you might be switching niches unless you want to go very broad and work with only e-commerce sites. But what I found, it's very difficult to get referred by those people since they might not have good leads to refer you to. So you're hitting a wall, even if you do an amazing job. But then, for example, compared to keynote speakers, they're not really in competition with one another. Yes, they might talk about similar topics and stuff like that. You might write similar books with one another, but you're not really directly competing with each other, meaning that you are way more likely to refer you to your peers because, again, you're not in direct competition. Second of all, usually people like keynote speakers, high-level executives, coaches, book authors, they're usually very well connected people. So they have bigger networks. They like to network. They're very extroverted, especially keynote speakers. It seems like they know basically everyone in their industry. That alone makes them, they have a much bigger network for you to refer to. Those two combined aspects, I think, is what actually helped me to get a lot of referrals from just a handful of people compared to all the other people that I've ever worked with. And very rarely got any referral. So if you choose good client type that is fit for referring you, then you might actually grow your business very fast.
Now, what does the future look like? Obviously, like you said, you're now going from freelancing to agency, which is awesome. Where are you now? Where do you see yourself in a year's time? What's the vision? What's the dream?
Yeah. So the thing is, I personally believe that personal branding is going to become very important. And that is true for companies, brands, as well as just people themselves. Especially with AI taking so much of our space, of our content, of everything, it feels that if you have a very strong personal brand, you have so many more possibilities for your business, whatever that would be, writing books, selling products, talking on stages. It's going to be very powerful. And not a lot of people, I think, are paying too much attention to that. The way I see it, since I see this as a very powerful thing, the agency that I'm building is actually, I am still doing SEO. I still think it's an integral part for the personal brand aspect, but I am shifting my focus towards helping other people build their personal brands. So it's going to be a personal branding agency and videos, LinkedIn, and website, which is SEO essentially, are going to be the three main pillars to actually get people like keynote speakers on another level. Also, doing videos and LinkedIn and social media helps with SEO as well. So I'm just also doing myself a favor by taking other things that I do, which in turn also help SEO, and then SEO can fuel other things. So it's just a very good balance. So this is the future. This is the dream, building that agency. And what I have right now, I want to scale this to 4 or 5x time and then see where.
Ron, what do you have now? So when we come back to you in 6 months' time, we can see how you've grown.
Good question. 6 months' time, difficult to say since there is a lot of moving pieces that I'm moving around, but I feel that by the end of the year, I should have doubled what I have right now in terms of the clients that I work with and in terms of income as well. So this is the goal right now.
Challenges, opportunities right now. Beforehand, you had to go and do everything. Now AI can do so much, right? Yeah. The automations, the agents, the 70% of the work that you used to have to do, if you spend the time building it and structuring it and understanding what's needed, you can pass that off. And for me, there's this piece. I love the idea of personal branding and understanding all that, because humans are going to want to connect with humans much more now. If your company can automate 80% of the job and that 20% that's left, you can do more human, then you're going to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
yeah, I personally believe that's why the reason, I mean, this is why I'm like doing podcasts and appearing on podcasts, because I believe that personal branding is going to be important. So I stand by my words by actually doing that myself, but also offering that to other people as well. It's a thing that I feel a lot of people should start doing, because the human aspect is going to become even more important if we move into this AI world where a lot of things can be automated.
And what is important about personal branding in your view?
Like a lot of things are important, but I feel that it's just that you have to be known to gather opportunities. So what is a personal brand? A personal brand is basically you yourself showing off what you do in the world and gathering an audience around that. So when I say personal brands, I never mean influencers. I don't mean that you need to have 100,000s of followers. Actually, for a lot of people, just a couple of thousand of followers and a couple of thousand views per post or per Instagram reel is enough in their specific industry, in their specific people that they're targeting, to actually make an impact. And it's just, if I'm looking for somebody to work with and I see a person that has personal brand, has videos, has something, I'm way more inclined and likely to actually go and chat with that person compared to a freelancer that doesn't even have a photo on his website or doesn't even have a website. So it's like, basically, if you don't have a personal brand, you might become very invisible. And the only way to find you is I don't know, if you don't even have a website, then there's no way to find you. So I just feel that that's going to be a crucial part.
I love that view. If you have 300 views on TikTok, right? Let's just take that as an example.
Yeah.
And everyone cries about 200, 300 view at jail. Imagine you're sitting in a room with 300 people looking at you. You'd feel entitled. Most people won't even get up and talk. They won't even say anything because they'll be too nervous. And that, you've already got 200 and 300 people in front of you. And if those 200 or 300 people are the right people, to your point, that's an audience by itself. And if you're posting one of those videos a day and you're still getting the 300 people, by the end of the week, you've got 1,500 people.
That's exactly what I've been telling other people as well, that in the social media age, we got so desensitized to basically all of the numbers are way inflated. Like we get 1,000 views on a video and we're like, ah, oh, this is a bummer. But yeah, as you said, if you get up in front of 1,000 people, that's it. That's a whole other feeling. Yeah, one view is not equal to another view. So let's say if you get 3,000 views, the actual like audience that watched a video that I would actually come to see you live per se would be like maybe 300, 400 people. That is still a lot of people dedicated. So yeah, it is very powerful, and not a lot of people are, I think, thinking that way. So they're missing out.
Yeah, and I think so many people chase the views at the cost of authenticity.
Yeah, that's also another thing. I feel that personal brands, you don't, when I speak with people about, hey, you should build a personal brand, do a Instagram video, make yourself more visible, do a newsletter or something like that. If we're talking about like videos, people always seem to think that they need to put some kind of a persona. I need to become somebody to be on a video. I'm like, no, you just showcase yours. It is difficult. I'm not saying I had to learn that the hard way. When I first got in front of the camera, I was very not myself. Nowadays, I'm way more used to actually film something, but it is a skill. Yeah, a lot of people think that they need to act a certain way, where in reality, it's just learning to be yourself on camera and just showing what you do and how it works. That already sets you apart from 80% of people.
Then one last question before we wrap up. We had this old world where information was expensive. We now have the new world where information is free, right? You can come and be a coach, and the same program you're coaching can be taught by AI. All the information can be there. And so many people that I speak to, I say to them, okay, you need to give away a lot of free content. You need to be honest and authentic and make it useful to people because there's a principle of reciprocity. If I'm giving and I'm giving and I'm giving, and I give different stuff or the same stuff all the time, and people like me and they start to build a trust with me, it's this building of the trust that's important, right? Then they will come back and they will at some point decide to buy from me. And I always get this, but if I give away my secrets, how many secrets are out there anymore?
Yeah, to be honest, we're circling back to the same thing. As AI is getting better and basically is able to provide any advice, any information for free these days, what is actually valuable? Human factor is valuable. Human connection is valuable. The same personal brand is actually valuable because I might get the same information from AI, but maybe I trust you more. I like viewing you more on your YouTube channel. So I'm still gonna go to you for a certain piece of advice rather than to just type it into like ChatGPT. If these like authenticity, human factor, personal brand is gonna in this new age where information is free, I think those key things are gonna become even more important. Another thing is that communities, live events, stuff that AI cannot replicate is gonna become super important. I think what you are gonna eventually sell, let's say, as you said, if I'm giving away everything for free, what is there to sell? Something that is high ticket, I think that is gonna become way more prominent. So the exclusivity is gonna be even higher. You will sell less of the things, but for way more. And it's probably going to be some kind of access network, community, live events. Those are the things that AI cannot replicate, but people still crave human connections, human touch. So these, I think this is the
100%
direction we're going to.
community is exactly where it is. And as business owners, I don't know if you found that as business owners, it's probably one of the loneliest jobs out there.
It is, oh man, I only started going to conferences, attending like networking and just meeting people just in the last couple of years, and it changed the way I view things and how much more valuable it is to. It's also very difficult to meet entrepreneurs. Like, it's not, it's, it, there are like few, very few of us amongst just in general. So it's not like you can go to a bar and just randomly meet somebody like that. To connect, you need to seek out communities, specific events.
There's less than 2% of the people in the world will start a business.
Jesus, that's such a low number.
And every year, less than 1% will start.
Wow.
And of those, I'm talking numbers here, but of those, 75% of them will fail. So it's a very small community, a powerful community, small community, it's a community I love. So thank you so much for joining us. And if you were to leave people with one thought, what would it be?
Consistency is the thing that I think helped me to get through a lot of difficult phases of entrepreneurship, of freelancing, is just being consistent, never giving up, and being resilient to that thing. If things doesn't work and you suddenly, you quit, basically. So I think that is what helped me a lot in my journey. And that is what I wish for everybody to have.
Thank you so much for joining me. I'll put all your details on the show notes and everywhere it goes out. And we'll catch up again in 6 months' time and see if you're where you want to be.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Roy, for having me. That was so fun to be on this show.
Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power, where our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.